Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Back there.
What up, everybody? It's B. Mitch and Finley with no B. Mitch or no Finley. They are traveling back from Spain. So you get the, what are we, the B team, the C team? It's Denton Day and Linnell Willingham.
I would just never, ever call myself a B player. We are A players. Everyone's an A player. We're
right,
better
so
than the
B
Commanders.
The B team and the C team. Well, they're the D team right now. Pause. We got a lot to discuss with what happened yesterday. It was kind of embarrassing the way that game ended.
Is that how you took it?
Washington loses 16-13. Embarrassing because the kicker is not very good.
Well, we've known that. Yeah. It just sucks that he actually cost us a game. That's the tough part.
But you knew that was going to happen. It's not the fact that he cost the team the game that is really awful. It's the fact that he not only missed one, but two kicks in front of a proud soccer country like Spain.
It was tough.
Professionals of kicking balls. Yeah. Pause. Professionals of kicking balls, and that dude was shanking kicks left and right.
He was objectively bad yesterday. But that's what he's been all season. So I don't get worked up about it. I'm not too discouraged.
Well, there's nothing to be discouraged about what happened yesterday
is exactly exactly what we needed to happen, I would say.
Yeah, you lose a game and you win a battle in the sweepstakes for Reuben Bain.
Yeah, you were competitive yesterday. That was my big thing. As I thought the way the game started, knowing how Devon Achane's just doing whatever he wants. I mean, the run defense yesterday was pitiful.
I don't know why they didn't give him the ball 40 times yesterday.
Every play.
And just run to the right every single time.
Every play. I would have given him the football every single play. We had nobody setting the edge. Guys are getting blown off the ball in the interior. I was disappointed in the run defense, but I think, as we'll discuss throughout the show, the defense was marketably better yesterday. I don't think anybody could argue that. Now, Miami is not the best litmus test, I would say, but they did play well. I will give them credit. There were a couple of really spirited goal line stops. I thought the run and hit was there, except for those two Devon Achane runs where he should have lost 6 and 7 yards, ends up gaining 10 because guys aren't flying to the football. We're a team that I think is just ready for next year. I'm not saying they're playing like that. I'm saying I'm ready for next year.
I was ready for next year 2 weeks ago. It does feel like that they're not on 1-2-3 Cancun, but their hands are in the middle.
Yeah.
And they're just kind of waiting to chant.
They're ready
one,
to
two,
do the
three.
Bit. Yeah.
Cancun, I will tell you this, though. I was frustrated with one thing. Dan Quinn can call defense. What took him so long? There was a difference. Are you going to sit here and argue that there wasn't a difference between the play calling between the two of them?
I would say so. And they were trying to highlight it throughout the broadcast too, saying that they were playing more zone.
You know what really sucks the most about the team not being very good? We likely are going to get a lot more Jonathan Vilma,
dude.
You know who I don't need in
I'm
my
sorry.
Life. I do not need Jonathan Vilma calling.
If
games
he
for us.
Tries to do the 6-7 bit one more time.
God.
I literally cringe
every single time.
It's the worst thing ever.
He tried it with the president. He tried it again. Yet, like, enough with the 6-7. He's
Kenny
worse than the teenagers.
Kenny Albert's going to smack him if he continues to do it.
That's what I love, by the way.
I love Kenny Albert.
But Vilma is such a tough listen that I don't even want to listen to Kenny Albert. Sorry, you were making a point about that. I just had to make it clear that is a terrible broadcast.
If you want to steer and go that direction, I am lead the way because he was not only was he bad, he may be the worst. I was literally thinking as I'm watching it, there must be just no one else out there that wants the job.
Well, it feels like every other international game is either like Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner or some combination of NFL Network talent.
We just got Fox's D team.
And then like, you know, they said it last week. They're like, yeah, we'll be out there in Spain. I thought they were talking about like the royal we.
Just going.
Like, I thought just like people will be out there in Spain. And you know how I talk about myself in the second person sometimes? Yeah. I'm like, we are doing good if it's literally just me. I thought they were talking to the second person. I didn't think it was actually going to be them out there in Spain.
I couldn't believe it. And he was, well, first of all, he does this bit where he thinks Frankie Louvu is our best defender. He said it last week.
I know.
Said it this week.
He loves linebackers. That's why.
He loves not saying anything of relevance. That's what he loves doing. I mean, just, and I've done, we've both, I don't know how much play-by-play you've gotten to do. I've done play-by-play where the color analyst just doesn't bring anything to the table. I felt for Kenny Albert. And then he said, the one time he was like, is he on drugs? I was like, what are you talking about, Vilma? Like, what are you, come on, dude.
He's trying to do the Bobby Three Sticks bit where he just says something that goes viral. That's why he keeps doing the 6-7 thing.
Did he not see what happened to Robert?
Oh, he's still calling games.
Well, he said something egregious a couple of weeks ago that I don't know if you've seen the.
Who, Robert?
Yeah.
The best thing that I have done this year is muting Robert Griffin.
Yeah, he's doing what, FS1?
He's actually not terrible at Fox. Anyway.
Yeah.
So Joe Witt not calling defense, Dan Quinn calling defense. To me, they were better.
Yeah.
Dan Quinn has what is an instinctual sense when it comes to defensive play calling. When it, calling blitzes. I mean, they were in a corner blitz with Jonathan Jones, I think that it was, coming off the edge that was beautifully timed, especially on what is the backside to Tua because he's left-handed. Like, there was an instinctual difference. There was also guys playing harder. I mean, Bobby Wagner diving at the goal line. We haven't seen a play like that from him in probably 6 years.
I would love to get to one Bobby Wagner.
Please.
It's time.
It's time. You're ready for him? Him and Ertz? Because Ertz is, I'm ready for Ertz too.
Well, it's a weekly death taxes and a false start from your future Hall of Fame tight end. It's a gut punch every time
and
it happens.
And the worst part is the false starts are never like speedy.
No.
It's never like he's getting a great release off the line. Yeah, it's usually like a falling forward bit, and you're just like, ah, damn it, Zach.
Yeah. But I tweeted this out yesterday. My biggest takeaway from yesterday, and this is, I hate that it feels like I'm about to be negative, but shocker. It's a really bad look that this coaching staff was not playing Jordan McGee the entire season. He, without a shadow of a doubt, is the best linebacker they have. It's not even close. Bobby made a couple of plays at the goal line, or that one play at the goal line. Other than that, he's a big reason why they couldn't stop the run, dude. Picking wrong gaps, slow scraping over the top. I mean, he looked bad out there yesterday.
I don't know if it was a Devon Achane run or if it was an Ollie Gordon run.
Well, they didn't want any parts of Ollie Gordon.
Bobby picked the wrong gap.
Yeah.
Gordon cuts, counters it back, left side, and then he's, you know, in the open field.
But my thing is,
and
like,
Reeves had to chase him down from behind because Reeves is, you know, he shut off a speed a little bit there, but he missed first and then he got him from behind.
It just goes back to some of these runs hit because guys aren't in their gap. And I don't have a whole lot of tolerance for a lack of gap integrity. It's like defense 101. It's frustrating to watch them play the run right now.
They're bad. They're
horrible.
The fact that Miami, one, they were smart in overtime to keep running the football. I was like, are they going to let Tua throw the ball? Which, by the way, sending him out as your captain at halftime or at overtime, I thought Tua was going to say the wrong thing. I mean, if there's a guy that you maybe want to avoid doing that, It would have been Tua. Like, at least we had Laramie Tunsil out there, and Tunsil is in sound mind.
Right.
Tua is very much not. I was like, you should probably not have him be your decision maker right there.
Yeah. It's,
but they can run the football. That's Mike McDaniel's best attribute has always been his design of run plays. And then against his defense, they should have run it. They only ran it 31 times.
Malpractice.
40 times.
Literal malpractice. Five every run. I don't think they had any negative runs. It felt like all day long. There were a couple of tackles for loss. I won't hyperbolize.
But your two main running backs averaged 5 yards a carry.
And they just would not continue to run it. I didn't understand it at all. I thought it kept Washington in the game. But good for them. There were some standouts on both sides of the ball, though. I thought, as we're watching here in the final 6-7 games, you know, you're obviously trying to pay attention to guys that you want to be a part of this thing next year. And I think even some of the veterans, like I was a big, big Eddie Goldman fan yesterday.
He's had a good season.
He's continued to come up big for them after retiring, twice and not really
the
knowing.
The irony of him being the biggest question mark from their free agent signings because of the retire bit that he did, just being unsure of what he was going to look like.
Yeah.
He's been one of the brighter signs from the entire season because he doesn't suck.
Yeah,
which
right.
is, I mean, that's the bar. Don't be awful.
You know?
But he's made a couple of really good plays.
Yeah. I just got a text saying you got to show Denton that clip. It was the Robert Griffin. I have to show you.
Show me during a break.
Robert's a total idiot. But to your point, I do think the defense played better. Like I said a moment ago, I don't know how good of a litmus test Miami was. They sabotaged themselves. Jordan Brooks had 20 tackles yesterday, by the way. Just flying around the place.
That is insane.
Insane number of tackles. But
Bobby Wagner needed one to get 100. He ended up having 8. So that's good for him.
I'll be honest, and maybe, you know, callers will put me in my place as it rolled throughout the show. I'm just not a fan of 54.
You've held that stance for a while.
He's totally holding the defense back. He's just, his lateral speed going east and west compromises you anytime someone tries to get on the edge. He just cannot move.
The problem is they get on the edge really quick. I mean, at one point, Von Miller was getting stonewalled by a receiver when trying to get out.
Embarrassing.
That was a tough look. It was 19. I don't know who 19 is for Miami.
Is that Malik Washington?
I think Washington 6. But he just completely stonewalled Von Miller. I was like, what is happening right now?
Run defense was bad yesterday. But as a whole, looking at it from like the perspective of glass half full, I thought, to your point, it felt like it was a good feel from Dan calling it. I know they ran a lot more zone. I thought you saw them playing faster even when they were giving up completions. But I thought Miami's game plan sucked, if I'm being real. But
they didn't take I don't think they really took a true deep shot the entire game.
They tried one to Waddle that was covered really well. Wagner, ironically enough, was underneath Quan Martin and Darnell Savage over the top. That was the one deep shot I think.
There was the Mikey Sanders dropped interception.
Yeah.
I wish that was the only drop he had, but he had another one. So we'll get into that. I mean, there's a lot to dissect from the game. We're just kind of like really honing in on the defense. I thought they played well enough to win the football game, albeit against a bad team.
Yeah.
And again, I don't really want them to win. Like, we've reached the point of the season where I don't want them to win. I want to see what we saw yesterday, which is you were competitive and then you lose.
Yeah.
Because that's what we saw at the end of the Ron Rivera tenure, and it landed Jaden Daniels here. And you clearly need a dude on the defensive line, and there is a dude available.
Several dudes from
Miami and Reuben Bain. He is the top prospect. There's a number of other guys that are going to be available if you are drafting super high. And this was kind of a win for you in that regard. And then, hey, you lose. It stinks, but you look good. Debo looked good. This was his best game in a while. I mean, Ertz caught 4 passes. This was his best game in a while. Chris Moore caught 2 passes. I mean, there were some things that you could point to and say this was solid, but you still end up losing. And that's, at this point in the season, it sucks because it's not Thanksgiving yet, but that's where you are.
Yeah, I mean, you gotta count your blessings, so to speak, is the best way that I can put it. I feel bad for this team, and we've spoke about this over the last several weeks. Jalen Lane now goes out. Jacoby Jones, first career catch,
25
yards, and should have been something that helped them win the game, but The injuries at receiver, the injuries everywhere, first and foremost, are just brutal. But Jalen Lane goes down yesterday. Like, holy cow.
Could he not have, like, caught one punt?
Just one.
One more?
Yeah.
Like, is that too much to...
If he catches the punt, do we lose still, though? So, you know, that's my whole thing. Probably,
because you were going to rely on the kicker anyway.
Well, yeah. And he's just not...
He's not good.
It's not good at his job.
By the way, I am of the belief, and maybe I'm in the minority here, and we can expound on this a little bit more. I don't think you should cut him. If you paid him the guaranteed money, go out there and kick.
Yeah.
And if this is the last job that you ever see in the NFL because you're not good, so be it.
Yeah.
Go out there and kick. We paid you guaranteed money. I'm not trying to pay you to not work.
I agree.
Especially now that we're in the position where we're fighting for draft stock and not to actually win football games. Get out there, son.
Who was the kicker that we had when we landed Jaden Daniels that missed the field goal against the Jets? Was that Joey Sly?
I think it might have been Joey Sly, but it was more so Greg the Leg hitting one.
Yeah, right.
It was Greg the Leg, Greg Zuerlein hitting one. It was a long one, but thank you, Greg.
Yeah. I'll say this too. I think it kind of goes back to the Jordan McGee bit. One, it's to me, it's a terrible look by this coaching staff that he hasn't been playing. But then it's like another game where you're short guys and you still can't see a guy like Kane Medrano active. So I'm looking down the stretch to see
who played really well on special teams, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, he was fly. You want to talk about speed. I don't know the IQ of Kane Medrano yet, but the speed is there because he was flying on teams yesterday.
You just got to see it come up on with defensive snaps. Like, that's what I want to see. Jazon Newton had a big opportunity yesterday. Don't know if he made the most of it. Still have my doubts and reservations about him.
A couple fine plays, but nothing game-breaking.
Yeah, just need him to stand out a little bit more. I thought Colson Yankoff on teams and the one catch that he had was pretty impressive.
I did think that the broadcast crew was hilarious because it didn't feel like they wanted to say the name Yankoff.
Yeah.
It felt like Kenny Albert thought he was being punked when Yankoff was on the board. But
When the spotter points, Yankoff!
He's like, no.
It's not who that guy is. No, that's exactly who he is. Once again, too, it's another really strong Marcus Mariota performance, if we're being honest. The interception, obviously, in overtime stings you. But he was really efficient again, for this offense. And I think, I don't know if this was the other day we were talking about this, trying to find nice things to say about Cliff Kingsbury's offense. I think it's quarterback friendly. That's how I would put it. I think anybody you put in there will have, a microcosm of success. Not to take away from what Jaden and Marcus do, but I do think the system is quarterback friendly. For whatever reason, though, like this affinity, and I'm ready to say it here, this affinity with Bill Kroski Merritt's got to stop. Your best running back
is Chris Rodriguez.
Without a shadow of a doubt, is Chris Rodriguez.
And it has been for 2 years now.
He should be touching the ball 20 plus times a game.
Yeah.
He is he embodies one what you want to be from a physicality standpoint. He's falling forward, he's running with good pad level. You've got to continue to reward him with carries. Bill getting damn near 10 carries yesterday, I thought was totally pointless.
And it felt like, that's what made me have this assumption that there was an element where they are buying into, we don't want to win right now. Because Chris Rodriguez in the first half was excellent. I think he carried the ball maybe 3 times on that first possession, and I don't know that we saw him again. It was Bill from the rest of the way in the third quarter and on. They are in on the analytic people are understanding it's probably not in the best interest to be winning games right now. Tanking is a tough word to use in the NFL just because of the physicality of it. But it's very clear that Chris Rodriguez was your best runner yesterday. And unless there was a reported injury that flew under the radar, I didn't see anything. Have you seen anything about an injury? I didn't see anything. He was averaging 5.3 yards a carry.
He just didn't see him enough.
And he only touched the ball 15 times. That can't happen.
No.
You got to if you are serious about like really winning the football game, you give him more carries. And this is now the second year in a row where it's taking them until late November to realize he's pretty good. We should give him the football. He runs with a ferocity that we've been preaching about, and then for whatever reason, they just did not give him the ball in the second half yet.
Yeah, I don't understand. It frustrates me though because I don't think this is them trying to lose. I just think
They're just not good.
I just think there's something missing with our offensive minds in terms of that position.
Which was frustrating because Cliff had a decent game calling the game, I thought, for the first half or so. Again, put Marcus in some really good spots, and then the wheels were just kind of off in the second half. Even though they scored immediately on the first drive, and then everything was just gonzo.
I mean, but you see it happen week in and week out, and we talked about it when we had Vaughn on last week. They're fourth in the NFL in offensive penalties. They do this bit week in and week out where they absolutely sabotage drives.
It's always false starts.
Multiple times throughout a game, and it puts them behind the sticks. And when you have this type of injury situation, the margin for error is just not very big. And you saw it happen yesterday. It was a big reason why they only scored 13.
The frustrating thing is never like it's a holding. It's always a false start.
But
like
no,
illegal
but then,
formation.
But that's my thing.
And that's
illegal shifts, illegal formations. Like, are you paying attention to what your assignment is?
Discipline stuff that you should have had ironed out in week 3. And the fact that you're in November in an international game and still your veteran players are the ones that are making these flubs. It's not like Connolly's hitting a false start every single possession. Right. It's
he played well again yesterday, too.
Yeah, he did. He played well. It's Ertz. It's the veterans that constantly are jumping and because they had 6 penalties for 31 yards. If you do quick math there, 6 times 5 is 30.
So yeah,
there was one play where
starts.
You got a 6-yard penalty, but the rest of it was false starts. That's just You should be well past that point, and the fact that you're not is kind of embarrassing. Not even kind of. It's very embarrassing. It's Beamish and Finley. The fellas heading back from Spain. They'll be back tomorrow, so you get Denton Day and Linnell Willingham. There were some game balls that we're going to hand out. We will do that when we return. We will open the phone lines, cut up some blame pie at 11 a.m. So start to line the phones. We'll get to you at 11 a.m. It is a Misery Monday presented by Shinigo Miles here on 106.7 The Fan. Shinigo Miles, a top 25 workplace. Visit careers.mios.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Is B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan and the Team 980? No B. Mitch or Finley. They're flying back from Spain today. Probably jet lagged as all hell. So you get Denton Day and Linnell Willingham. You can tweet us at the Denton Day at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. We will open up the phones at 11. Let you get in. You want to point some fingers. We'll do a little blame pie in 30 minutes. There was some good from the game, Linnell, that I think needs to at the very least be highlighted. We've talked a little bit about some of the guys on defense that we saw play well. I mean, this was probably the easiest game to find good in over the last six, which Washington has now dropped six in a row. There is a twisted sense of irony that last year, after the team Hail Mary'd the Bears, that the Bears went on a massive losing streak, and now the Bears have kind of been at the start of this massive losing streak for Washington. Don't love that, but there is a twisted irony there. Who stood out to you positively before we start to blame a bunch of people around the organization?
Feels like most of the positive came from the defense, but I will go with an offensive guy. I thought you mentioned it earlier, Deebo Samuel. Once again, coming up big, seven catches. It was just impactful when you needed him the most, coming up with some big-time catches. I still feel like the jury is out for me in terms of whether I want him back here next year.
I'd keep him.
I think it just all depends how pricey he is.
If that number, if you can get Deebo Samuel at, hypothetically, let's say 3 years, 40, I'd keep him.
You think he's taking anything under $20 million per? Probably not. I mean,
he should. I don't know that he wants to, but he should.
I don't know if that's something he'll do, but I think he definitely needs to be a part of what they have moving forward. He is a real weapon still, I feel like, and in a situation where you have other complementary pieces on the perimeter, I think his impact, you know, really gets heightened. You can see just how, you know, good he actually is.
I'm hoping that he saw the Terry situation unfold in front of his eyes this offseason.
Well, he's been through his own holdouts.
So. He's been through his own, but he also turns 30 in January.
Yeah.
So I don't know that he's going to be asking for 20. If you can negotiate that price down, I would like to see him back. You get Terry, you get Deebo, and then you draft a young wide receiver that has a little bit more upside right now than Jalen Lane does.
I mean, Nicholas Harper.
I mean, there's a bunch of dudes in college that have some really good upside. I'm not saying that the ship has sailed on Jalen Lane, but there's a lot more that needs to be developed before I can go into 2026 with any confidence that he is going to be a legitimate playmaker on the offense. I thought Deebo played really well. This is the first game in a while that it looked like he was really healthy.
Yeah.
It also really highlighted that they don't have any other wide receivers. I mean, it was Deebo
right,
and it was Ertz.
Deebo, Ertz, Chris Moore got a couple of targets. He was third most targeted guy yesterday. They have a problem at wide receiver. And it's not because I think I'm past the point of blaming the roster construction. I think they're just a super injured team. Like, I'm willing to concede that at wide receiver.
It's both.
It's both, but I think it's more the injury factor right now than it is them being ill-prepared. I mean, you call Jacoby Jones up off the practice squad, and he comes up with a huge 25-yard catch, and it's like, who is that guy? You know, like people, you're down to the studs right now
they
in terms of what you're having
principle.
To trot out.
I don't know what the coach is.
I mean, he's been here since last year. There's familiarity with the system. I really get it.
They love him, though.
I mean, who else are they going to play?
Then that's where it's the roster. So it's a combination of both. It's the roster construction and then the fact that they just really like Chris Moore.
I think that's fair.
Because they went in with Noah, thinking that Noah Brown. And, you know, if Noah Brown doesn't get hurt in mandatory minicamps, you know, he goes down with that, like, weird fluky knee situation, and then he never was really right.
I wouldn't call it fluky. I just think the kid just gets hurt a lot.
He does. He does happen to get hurt a lot. Going in thinking that he was going to be wide receiver 3 when he had a history of injuries.
Yeah.
I mean, his injury last year was unfortunate, but it was like one of those crazy injuries where you're like, how did this happen?
Yeah. It doesn't. A spleen? Like a lacerated kidney? It's like, come on.
I mean, that was nuts. I thought Ertz played well enough. The penalties are still killer.
Yeah.
And you could, if you want to argue that the penalties did a lot more bad than his 4 receptions for 42 yards did, that's perfectly okay with me. I'll hear that argument, and we'll give you the opportunity in 26 minutes here on 106.7 The Fan on B-Mitch and Finley. But he's clearly a favorite for the quarterbacks, whether it's Jaden or Marcus Mariota. And with no Sinnott playing, I was fine seeing him get a load of targets. When Sinnott gets healthy, though, the same way that you feel about Bobby Wagner and Jordan McGee, I need to see more Ben Sinnott after the bye week. You are in the position now where you need to start developing guys for 2026. And whether Ertz is here or not, I have no idea. But it's very clear that you cannot expect to have a massive role for Zach Ertz in 2026. You're doing yourself a malpractice and a disservice if that is your thought process.
I don't think it is. I don't think they're stupid. that's the best way that I could put it. He's clearly lost the sub. I don't know what. He's a good red zone target, and I think, like you said, he's a comfortable target for the quarterbacks. But outside of that, I don't know what reason you would have to bring him back. Doesn't give you anything as a blocker.
No.
This false start bit that we've seen week in and week out absolutely kills me. But I got another guy that I want to highlight. We briefly mentioned him earlier. I mean, since camp, it's been a revelation for me. Jacob Martin, just week in and week out, continues to make the most of his opportunity. There is a relentless effort that he plays with that I wish permeated throughout the entirety of the defense. And when we get to Blaine Pye, I mean, there were a couple of plays where Devon Achane is hit 7 yards behind the backfield in the backfield and then runs for 8 yards.
Scoots away and gets 10.
But that's all because they're not running to the football, which is supposed to be a cardinal sin of this group and something that's like a non-negotiable, yet week in and week out, we see it not happening without consequence. So, but Jacob Martin, 4.5 sacks on the year, 3 tackles for loss. Like, you feel him every time he's on the field, and I think I got to check the age, but he is somebody that, to me, is 29. If he finishes the season, say, with double-digit sacks or gets to 7 or 8, are you going to have enough money to keep him? Is someone else going to want to pay him?
The answer to having enough money is yes.
Yeah, you'll have
they're
enough.
They're
going
to have a ton. Do they want to divvy up that money?
I think you have
for
to.
Him?
He's like a culture guy to me. He's somebody that embodies, you know, what it means to be a commander.
He's been. Are we going to do that bit again?
What? Oh.
Embodies what it means to be a commander.
Well, we still don't know what a commander
is.
Yeah,
we still have no idea. I thought Terry was, and then that, you know, got out of hand really quickly.
Yeah.
I like Jacob Martin. Now, he's going to turn 30 in less than a month. In December 11th, he turns 30. I do feel like that benefits you in that he's not going to, I mean, what is the market going to be for a guy like Jacob Martin? It's not like he's going to go and get like $3 or $60 million.
No, I just think it depends what the rest
you
of the edge rusher market
looks like. You could probably keep him for
like
$8 million a year? $9 million a year, tops?
Somewhere in that area sounds correct.
Because think about it,
correct.
If he's, you're going to get, Dorrance is going to come back next year. They clearly like Dorrance Armstrong, and before he got hurt, he was up for
a deal at the end of next season.
Right. I would assume that they're going to draft a defensive end. Let me rephrase that. They better draft a defensive end. Maybe you address that in free agency as well. So I would expect that position to come back in 2026 looking massively different than it does right now. But I'd still like him to be a part of it. At the very least, he plays hard, which you cannot say about everybody on the defense. There's a select few guys that like really, really are playing hard, and Jacob Martin is one of them.
Yeah.
You mentioned Jordan McGee. He's another guy that I wanted to highlight during this segment because he has played really hard in the opportunities. It just took forever to get the opportunities. That has been, to me, Linnell, the biggest issue with the coaching staff and the decision-making process this year is that they waited way too long to start making changes that were necessary. When it comes to Dan Quinn taking over play calling, why did you wait until you were 3-7? To make that decision? Like, I understand you want to give Joe Witt, who's a guy that you really like, the most amount of opportunities to get it right, but it was clear he wasn't. It's not like you fired him, so you're still paying him.
Yeah.
You could have demoted him a long time ago. And similarly with Jordan McGee, he's fast. Is he a perfect linebacker? No. But you've been seeing Louisville in positions that we will call nefarious. He's struggling. He's not playing well. The things that worked for him in 2024 are very clearly not working in 2025. Bobby Wagner's a little bit slower in 2025 than he was in 2024.
A lot slower.
I'm not gonna be
that guy that caters to dudes because we respect what they've done. Yes, he has been a tremendous linebacker in this league. He is a detriment to your defense right now.
And they waited not too even long. Close. And I say waited. They still haven't made the decision to put McGee in there over Bobby Wagner. But they've waited too long on that process. And now, after the bye week, you need to very much focus on who is going to be here in 2026. If you're not going to be actively competing, and you got some big games coming up that are, it's not going to be pretty in a lot of instances, you need to work on who's going to be here. And Jordan McGee is going to be here next year. So like, you need to get him more reps to get him more comfortable. The best way to get better at playing football is to play football.
So lost in the sauce of Jordan McGee playing well, it's a feather in the cap of one Adam Peters, who I know we've been critical of in terms of his draft picks having impact. Is it that, or are they not playing his draft picks? I mean, because, dude, I tweeted it out yesterday as we're watching. Like, you can't look at this defense. You can't watch him play and tell me that there's anybody better on your roster at the position. He made several open field tackles yesterday on Devon Achane, who is, what, third in the NFL in rushing, and a guy that is one of the most dynamic players with the football in his hands in the whole league. He flashes every time you watch this kid. So I don't know what the disconnect is. Is it something where it's like a maturity thing? Is it something where they don't trust him? Because I'm of the belief that like the best 11 have to play. And I was having a conversation with somebody off the record, and they alluded to the fact of like they got a lot of respect for Bobby. Joe Witt's a first-time play caller on the defense, how instrumental he is to their calls in their communication system. Bobby's not going to be here forever.
No.
So, and one, like, it'd be different if from the neck up, like, he's great from the neck up, but it'd be different if, like, he was giving you anything physically. He's second in the NFL in tackles. They're all 5 and 6 yards down the field. Right. Slow getting over the top. Liability and coverage. And I'm not trying to just rag on Bobby Wagner. I totally understand the significance of having like a player coach. He's not giving you anything though.
And it'd be different.
Rush him. Let him rush.
It'd be different if the team was 6-5.
You know?
And the playoffs are still available. But now that the playoffs are not, McGee has to be in.
Yeah.
Kay Medrano has to be in. I need Ollie Cahoe to not be scratched. Put him on the field. Let's see what you bring in these players. You draft, Medrano, right? Ollie Cahoe, you bring in. Put him on the field. My mantra, you have mantras, I'm going to be mantra guy, if you don't mind. To get better at playing football, you have to play football.
Yeah.
You cannot expect guys that are not playing to just all of a sudden get better. So put them on the field, especially if there's really nothing to lose right now. The only losses only benefit you in the long term if you're thinking about the bigger picture here. So go put them in. If he makes a mistake, he makes a mistake. So what?
He's drafted him for a reason.
Like, let him get some mistakes in a season where it doesn't matter. So in the hopes that he becomes and develops into a good player and you turn this thing around in 2026, which I'm still very much of the belief that they will, because they're not going to get bitten by the injury bug this badly in consecutive years, and your quarterback is going to be back in 2026. Let the mistakes get out of the system now, so when you play in 2026, you got to move into the right direction and you feel much more confidently about your defense.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's just, it's tough for me with Bobby because this is somebody who first ballot Hall of Famer, like, you're making him look bad playing him as much as you are. And in the role that he's playing. Like, I think what he is best at right now is getting downhill. We've seen him tear running backs up in pass pro that are trying to stop him from getting to the other team's quarterback. Like, that's how I would use him. you have an issue right now and a lack of bodies, quite frankly, on the edge.
Right.
I think he can set an edge.
He can set an edge.
I would think he can, you know, take on a tackle.
I'm right there. I'd put him in that role the same way that they switched Daron Payne to the outside at the end of the year last year, because no one could set an edge. And like, hey, at the very least, you can do this. So those are some of the positives. Let's get to some negatives. We open up the phones at 11 a.m. here. We give our slices of blame pie, and then it'll be your opportunity in about 15 minutes here. It's B. Mitch and Finley with Denton Day and Leno Willingham sitting in for B. Mitch and Finley. It's a Misery Monday presented by Chenega Mayos. Top 25, 2025 top workplace. Visit careers.mios.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
It's B. Mitch and Finley on 106.7 The Fan. We're also live on Monumental Sports. I did my makeup today, so you can see that. I should have done more push-ups. That would have been necessary. B. Mitch and Finley are traveling back from Spain. They'll be back tomorrow. He's Leno Willingham. I am Denton Day. We open the phones in 10 minutes, so you can cut your slice of the blame pie. We got Heavy Metal Chris working the phones. He'll take good care of you. Just be nice to him. We got our guy JT the Vic running the ones and twos, because Jeff is also traveling back from Spain, and Landfill just decided he didn't want to hang out with us today.
The latter doesn't surprise me. Philly. Oh,
I feel like Jeff not being here is actually the lesser of the two surprises, because Jeff just finds his way to get everywhere.
Mr. Do-It-All. Mr. Worldwide.
Really, what pissed you off the most yesterday? There's a lot of answers here. What angered you the most?
I mean, I don't know if there's anything that genuinely angered me, because they were competitive and they lost.
So you weren't mad by this Marcus Mariota interception? I saw some goof that does not, you know, really follow the team had put out, is this the worst play of Marcus Mariota's career? And I was like, buddy, no, he's already had two worse this year.
I was about to say, so I would say the run defense yesterday was probably the thing that frustrated me the most, just how non-competitive they were at times while playing it. Devon Achane getting 4 and 5 yards before contact. Their inability to set the edge. Guys weren't flowing to the football on some of these runs, as we highlighted earlier. Like, there's no way he's hit 4 and 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage and then ends up running for 9 yards. Like, that can't happen. And that's something to me where we've had this conversation here recently about identity and play style. Like, that's not what they want to be. I can deal with guys busting the coverage. I can deal with guys having mental mistakes. You not running and hauling ass to the football, that's a choice that you decided to make. And that's not the type of choice I want guys on my defense making, or else I'll play somebody else. Before this defense can get to a level of respectability, there has to be non-negotiables, I guess.
Yes.
You can't play on my defense if. And I think right now some of those non-negotiables are being negotiated.
They are being very much negotiated. My first little sliver of blame pie, Mikey Sanderson has to catch the punt. He has to catch the punt. And I'm fully aware that he has been practicing punt returning. I am fully, trust me, don't nobody come at me being like, well, Denton at Michigan, I know what he did at Michigan. I watched him at Michigan. I know we caught some punts at Michigan. You have to catch that punt, though. At that stage of the game, like, if we're just talking about this from a competitive standpoint, because, again, I don't think the players are out here throwing games. I don't think that's how that works. But just from a competitive standpoint, you have to catch the punt. That is your one job. And it didn't look like he had any idea when it came to tracking the ball. His tracking of the football was not great. And at that point in time, you have to bite the bullet. Like, you need to respond in real time. If your tracking of the football is not top tier, let the football bounce. Instead of sprinting to it, dropping it, and then because you sprinted, your equilibrium is off balance. Didn't think we'd be talking about equilibrium in the first hour, but here we are. Your equilibrium is off balance, and then you can't recover it once you drop it.
Right.
They fall on it, and now the Dolphins don't do anything with it because they just march down and they go for it on fourth down rather than kicking it, which to me was the smart decision. But you rob yourself an opportunity of having a chance to win that game in regulation on your time and not letting the Dolphins touch the football again, because I do believe that Washington's offense had been playing well enough to that they could have taken 3 minutes off of the clock.
Yeah.
Relatively, maybe 4 minutes off of the clock. So I'm looking at Mikey Sanderson, and I'm saying, you were so great last year, and what happened? Because there has not been a bigger regression from 2024 to 2025 on defense than Mikey Sanderson. You might argue Frankie Louvu. I would say that Mikey Sanderson, who was a dog and on the come up last year, he has taken the biggest regression out of anybody, and I cannot point a finger as to why that is.
I don't blame him. Not that I don't blame him. I don't get super frustrated over it. I get it. It's a big spot. That was the first time he's returned a kick in the NFL, or a punt rather, in the NFL. And he is the backup punt returner for this team. He fields punts every day in practice, apparently, as your backups do. It's just unfortunate he didn't make the play, like, honestly. And big time spot, like you said, it probably changes the outcome of the football game. But look, his struggles on defense, I mean, I don't know if I could correlate the two, if him dropping the punt, but he just looks like, and even when playing defense, a guy that's just not confident, a guy that's second-guessing himself, a guy that doesn't trust his technique, doesn't trust what they're asking him to do. And I think you hit it right on the head. Between him and Frankie Louvu, the two biggest regressions from last year to this year are those two by a mile.
Like, there's no instincts.
By a mile.
Yeah. And if there are instincts, they're not trusting their instincts. It's been tough to watch because, like, he needs to make that play. He needs to make that play, and then in not doing so, I don't understand what you need to do to get him his confidence back. Another guy I'm blaming is Matt Gay. I've seen a lot of people, and we're going to open up phone lines in a second here, and I'm sure a lot of people will flood the phones with the same take. I've seen a lot of people blaming Adam Peters, and I get it, but how about just be good at your job if you're Matt Gay? You have one job. You're supposed to make kicks. Go make the kicks. And he's not doing it in front of a Spanish crowd that is used to seeing people be really good at kicking balls.
Miss
the way that he did is horrible.
I mean,
and if I'm Adam Peters, I'm not cutting him. You're not robbing money from us. Josh Harris probably saying, no. We're not paying him to not work. Yeah. He just needs to be better at his job, which is to kick through the big yellow things in the back of the end zone. They're pretty easy to see, I would think. You know, maybe in the Spanish stadium, and maybe this was the thing with Mikey Sanderson too. I actually have no idea about this. If there is somebody that was in the stadium and is somehow back on American soil, or maybe you're still hanging out there listening to us in Spain, I don't know what the position of the lights are in relation to that of a normal NFL stadium.
So they brought it up
on
the broadcast.
Did they?
Yeah, but Jonathan Vilma, of course, and this didn't do a good job.
Tuned him out.
Yeah, so they were trying to use the lights as some sort of excuse, is how I would put it. But for Matt Gay, I mean,
he doesn't have the excuse there.
No, I just chalk it up as another swing and miss for Adam Peters. I mean, we've seen several over the past year and a half, and he's not going to bat 1,000. They have not been able to get kicker right yet to this point.
Zane looked good yesterday.
Yeah, Matthew Wright hit a kick yesterday for the Titans.
Yeah.
Or the Texans. One of these kicking for one of those two bad teams.
He hit a kick. Zane hit a kick.
Yeah. I've
never gotten rid of Zane, but that's just me. All right, it's your turn. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Jump on the phone lines. If you got some stuff to get off your chest, we will gladly hear it. It's B. Mitch and Finley with Denton Day and Leno Willingham sitting in for the fellas on 106.7 The Fan. We are presented by Chenega Mios, a 2025 top workplace. Visit careers.withmios.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer.
When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcasts.